So I'm passing out some handouts. Please take one of each. One's called Spiritual Gifts Handout, and the other is called Discovering Your Gifts. Okay. Hi, my name is Mary Wood, and I'm here to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. So let's pray. Oh, how much time do I have? Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, I just thank you and praise you for this time together. I thank you for the many blessings you have brought us in this weekend. And Lord, we are here expectant. We are here for your Spirit to light upon us, to fill us up to overflowing. Lord, truly we are ordinary people, but you are extraordinary, and your Spirit is truly supernatural. I just pray right now, Jesus, that this talk would not bring discord or disunity, but even if we choose to disagree on some things, that we would remain unified in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and trusting you to teach each of us what is true and right, good and noble and pure. So I just pray, Lord Jesus, for your anointing on me right now, this very ordinary person, and that your Holy Spirit would have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, so spiritual gifts handout, that's pretty much what we're going to use for right now. And it gives you the four main scripture passages that we take the gifts of the Spirit from. And then the main points are the individual scriptures that I'll be using. And if you want to refer to those, that's great. Otherwise, I will start. I also use the NASB translation. So just an FYI, in case you're using NIV. It's pretty close to ESV, but it might be a little different. Okay, well, Melody shared who the Holy Spirit was, Jesus' promises in John and bringing the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and then the Holy Spirit came in Acts to them. It was really powerful and really amazing, and it began the outpouring of God's message to the world. So I was really excited when Sharon talked about this, but really nervous because I didn't have a normal Holy Spirit experience. I grew up Catholic. I grew up knowing God the Father very much. I prayed. I remember being 5 years old and praying. And then at 12, I went to, I don't know how to describe it, a charismatic Catholic prayer meeting. And as I was in there, I began to hear people praising God. And then I began to hear things that it wasn't true language. And it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard. There was probably 500 people in the basement of St. Francis Church praising God. It was just incredible. It could be a few less, but it was very packed. As a kid, it seemed very full. So here I was, 12 years old, with Mary Tiller and her dad. He brought us. And at that time, we wanted so much to know the Holy Spirit. Well, who is this Spirit? I knew God. I knew Jesus died for me. He suffered and died for my sins. I was taught that. But I didn't really know Jesus personally. And the Holy Spirit was so amazing because of just that beautiful time of prayer. So I prayed with in our small group afterwards, and I asked someone to pray over me because I wanted the Spirit to be in me. And I was prayed over, and I did receive the Holy Spirit, and I did receive the gift of tongues, but it was only used as a prayer language. I did not have the gift of interpretation. I didn't understand there were other gifts and how Jesus wanted to use these gifts of the Spirit in me. And the gift of tongues is only one of 20 to 21 gifts, depending on who's counting. When I was 17, I made a true commitment to Christ, but got distracted. So I returned at 22 and began doing warehouse ministries. I also joined a Bible study that used the gifts of the Spirit in our prayer time. So I heard prophecy. I heard gifts of knowledge. In fact, my son was prayed over. He was born with a disability. He wasn't walking. And the gift or the words were that the miracle of Christmas would be manifested in Miles. And I had already laid down that he may not walk, because I really didn't know. The doctors weren't sure that he could. They told me, in fact, that he'd probably be in a wheelchair. So at one point, my friend and I in our prayer group were praying, and this was a word she got. So I said, huh, I wasn't sure what it meant. But within a month, my son began to walk. And it was December 17th. And I knew that was God. I mean, this was truly a miracle. And I'm so grateful for those words and that encouragement, but also the days and months of prayer that went into his little life. Later, I joined a group that was expressively focused on the Holy Spirit, but it seemed imbalanced to me, so I stopped going. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And that's 1 Corinthians 14:33. I did go to the Afterglow Prayer at Warehouse, and it was an awesome time. Pastor Lewis had a separate time for prayer and the gifts of the Spirit, so newcomers would not be confused or frightened. I kept going to Bible study, and I began to grow in my walk with Christ. I didn't do things in order, kind of like some of the church in Acts, as Melody mentioned. I didn't receive Christ first, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be baptized. I did it the opposite way, yet he got me here today. But even while I was immature in my relationship to Christ, I knew I'd received his Spirit, and he gave me the confidence to pray and the gift of faith. I felt his Spirit quickening me in my daily walk, guiding me continually. I felt him in my prayers and in the Word. It just became alive as I began to read it. As I sought to serve God, he began to develop his gifts in me. So I continued to pray, go to Bible study, church, and my prayer group. This is where I leave my story and talk about the gifts. So why he gives us the gifts is so important. It's highlighted in the main scripture for this teaching. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So it's for the common good. It's for all of us. 1 Corinthians 12:7. In the Gospel of John, Christ told his disciples that they would testify about him because they'd been with him, and he promised them the Spirit, just as Melody shared. He was going away, but they were to abide in him, and he in them, and they would bear much fruit. He commanded them to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that Christ commanded. So we're building up the body of Christ as we make disciples. This may seem a little daunting to us, and it did for those who huddled in that upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. Christ had already prayed for his disciples. Remember the prayer in John 17? Sanctify them by your truth. So this is Christ praying for the disciples. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And that's us. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. So Christ prayed for us. Knowing Christ has prayed for us to be one in him, and the Father should encourage us to do his work, so should the example of what happened in the upper room. After Peter and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, a crowd of devout Jews came around them, and they began speaking in foreign languages. People thought they were drunk, but in truth, Peter testified that day through the Holy Spirit on behalf of Christ and Christ resurrected. 3,000 Jews repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus. And then in Acts 3, after healing a lame beggar, Peter with John gave a second sermon proclaiming Christ resurrected, and now 5,000 came to Christ that day. Isn't that awesome? This is the same people who were afraid in the upper room. Acts 4:13, as the Jewish leaders questioned Peter and John because they weren't very happy that they were teaching Christ resurrected, it says, "Now as they, the Jewish leaders, observed the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit that made the difference in Peter and John. They proclaimed Christ and spoke a foreign tongue, bringing others to repentance and baptism and speaking with confidence about Christ. The disciples were identified as having been with Jesus. Do people recognize that we have been with Jesus? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Are we bearing fruit? Ed Rasnick, in Using Your Spiritual Gifts, writes, God wants his people to be made into disciples to follow after him. He wants them to observe his commands and to identify with him and his people. Christ wants his disciples to continue his good work and bear fruit. So does Paul in Corinthians 1:10. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The work Jesus wants us to do is already prepared for us. We don't have to be afraid. He has given us the Holy Spirit, his power to accomplish these works. He promises to give us each a spiritual gift in which to serve him. 1 Peter 4:10 encourages in this. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There is a promise that each of us will receive a special gift to serve one another. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be unaware or ignorant, as some translations give. John MacArthur describes a spiritual gift as graciously given, supernaturally designed ability granted to every believer by which the Holy Spirit ministers to the body of Christ. The Greek word for gift, charisma, emphasizes the freeness of the gift. The word charismatic contains that root. Continuing in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who is at work in all these things. All things in all persons. And here's our scripture again. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is our bottom line for desiring the spiritual gifts and the power of God to work within each of us. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. The Holy Spirit decided that what we get. 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 11 states, for one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, another a word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effectings of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing or discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Verse 11 emphasizes the designation of the gifts. Since the gifts are given for the common good for the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit decides to give what's needed for that, for the good of the body. The entire body of Christ is important. In fact, we need all its parts to function. In Corinthians 12:12 explains how we need each other. I like in verse 16. And if the ear says, because I'm an eye, am I not a part of the body? And is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? We don't all want to be eyes. But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? We want to trust God with the designation of gifts and that we're all needed in the body of Christ to do his work. Verse 27 ends with this thought. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. So we're his body. Christ is in charge of his body, his church. His plan intends for us to serve one another in that body. Remember 1 Peter 4:10, employ our gifts in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God, or in various forms of God's grace. So the gifts of the Spirit are found in Romans 12, and I'm just going to read the gifts that are in there. I was going to read the Spirit, but we're the Spirits. I was going to read the Spirits. I think that's in some horror show. Anyway, I'm going to read the gifts. Because I'm not into reading spirits. Well, maybe I have the gift of discernment. Let's see. So Romans 12. In Romans 12, starting in verse 6, he talks about prophecy, service, teaches, he who exhorts or exhortation, he who gives, he who leads, and he who shows mercy. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:7, he goes on to speak of words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing or discerning of spirits. gifts, various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually. So then if we skip down to to 12, 28, and 30, he also talks about apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helps, administrations, tongues again, and he repeats a few in the next, he repeats all those in the next two verses. Apostles, sometimes there's a question about apostles, and I did talk to Jeff about this, because the big A apostles, who were the apostles, were the 12 with Christ, and with the gift of apostleship to go out and to start churches, that's still happening today, so that's the difference. And that's in your handout under apostleship. Let's see. So Paul follows at the end of all this list in, is that Corinthians? Yeah, in Corinthians 12. At the very end in 31, he writes, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." So Paul follows this with chapter 13, his famous chapter on love that follows. Because without love, none of these gifts matter. And I think Melody really covered that. Without love, these gifts don't matter. So we need the love of Christ. Ephesians 4:11. That goes on to say again, apostles, prophets, evangelists, that's new, pastors and teachers. And pastors, that's not mentioned before. If we go down to Peter 4:9-11. So all of these are just listed at the top of your page. They're not there individually. But you'll see the actual gifts on the gifts of the Spirit page. So Ephesians 4, he lists apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then in Peter 4:9, hospitality is mentioned, but I'll move on. Speaking and serving. And that's how we kind of define the gifts categories, speaking and serving. We also added one more, the sign gifts, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But hospitality, some people believe, is a gift. As we were looking at the scriptures, it's more of a mandate. It says we are to give, to be hospitable. We are to welcome people, welcome strangers. So it's something Christ tells us to do. But if you look at the list where you find that scripture, you'll also see that, I believe it's Corinthians 12:7, that it's more of what he wants us to do. Just like, you know, pray without ceasing, you know, be joyful. And persecution and the two others. And I think I just flipped that, sorry. So each of the four passages offer some of the gifts, but not all gifts are mentioned in one passage. These gifts are often organized, like I said, speaking and serving gifts. The other category is sign gifts. Now, John MacArthur also calls them sign gifts, but he believes they're not active today. This is a controversy. Miracles, healing, languages, the interpretation of languages, and even distinguishing spirits are sometimes called sign gifts that some Christian teachers feel were limited just to the apostolic age, Jesus' time, and have ceased. Others believe that God uses all the spiritual gifts at this time, dependent on God's discretion. And if we were to divide them into three categories, the serving, sign, and speaking gifts, they're instruction-oriented to speak God's word. The serving gifts are service-oriented to serve in God's strength, and the sign gifts are to demonstrate the miraculous activity that gives evidence to God, found in 1 Corinthians 12. The sign gifts are only mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. This does not mean that they're unbiblical, but it does suggest that we may use the others a little bit more in day in and day out of serving God. And that's where hospitality is mentioned too in 1 Corinthians 12. So you have a handout that identifies the scriptures and gifts we've discussed. So while Bible scholars do not all agree on the list of gifts, how to categorize them, and which ones are still active today, we hope to keep an open mind and let God decide what gifts he chooses to use. If he decides we need a miracle to bring people to Christ, then he will provide a miracle. We have provided Calvary Chapel's beliefs regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which some be some help for us to sift through the controversy. So back in our little resource table, there's one little row that says baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it actually gives Calvary Chapel's stand and what they feel about the gifts today. So if there's some question or some concerns, please read that. And please look at this handout. To resume my own story, my own gifts have developed. as I have allowed the Lord to use me. So this is about surrender. And it's kind of scary when God asks you to do something new. I believe he gave me the gift of tongues and faith a while later, and more recent times, exhortation and teaching and wisdom. I'm stronger in some areas than others, but it's up to him to utilize them in me as I surrender to his will. I have one caveat about the gift of tongues. Paul teaches to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish, this is Paul, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets so the church may receive edification. So that's the important part of tongues. If tongues are used, then there needs to be an interpretation. And that's the orderly way God works, and we do not have confusion in our services. So that's really important that we understand that. Edification means the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. Another warning, also beware of mysticism. During Paul's time, the pagan religions of Corinth practiced mystical experiences called ecstasy, supernatural sensuous communion with the deity, and enthusiasm, divination, dreams, revelations, and visions that were to be distinguished. These were not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this was taken from John MacArthur. I heard a sermon in Colossians 2:18 and 19 when I was in Hawaii at Hope Chapel, and I'd been praying about a certain church and their bent regarding the gifts of the Spirit. In the sermon, Paul warns them against false teachers and also of mysticism and the worship of angels. This false teaching was based on visions and revelations that only they individually had received, and it was rather self-serving. It played Colossae for centuries and far beyond. I saw how this church I was concerned about had gotten off track with this focus in mystical visions, dreams, and revelations. I'm not saying that these things cannot be from the Lord, but we must test every spirit. 1 John 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out to the world. It does say in Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. These supernatural things can be of God, but we must test all against his word. So I want you to just look at the handout for a minute. So the four main passages about the gifts are at the top, the main points, and then the gifts of the Spirit and where they're located are defined. And we don't really have time to go over those, but I do want you guys, if you can, to take a little bit of time later to look at this, maybe in your quiet time. And then discovering your gifts is the other handout. And this is just a little bit of help, because I think it's really hard. It was really hard for me to say I had a gift. I mean, it sounded kind of, you know, a little puffed up there. And I was scared. What if I don't? What if I'm mistaken? But as I read through these questions and began to answer them, I saw an avenue God was moving me. And that's what we really want to look for. It's got to confirm with our passion, with the certain kind of ministries we're interested in, a personal sense of calling, where God blesses our work and where he doesn't. And are we lightly related to God? Is our delight in him? Is all of this about God, or is it about us? Our past experiences, where did we fit? Where did we feel God's affirmation and pleasure? Where were we frustrated and failed? And then looking at this opportunity, knowing God is in charge of our giftedness, he's also in charge of opening the doors for us to serve. We need to look for these patterns and types of opportunities that come our way. Where is God presenting us opportunity? And you may not feel totally prepared, but that's the other piece. God can prepare us in no way that we can even believe. I had to go. I went to Africa, and I happened to be the token nurse. And the woman who was in charge said, I want you to teach the women. I said, okay, and I want you to teach them about health. I said, okay, well, you know, they speak some English and Swahili, but I was like, can I have a little more information? And she said, no, they're birthing attendants. So they go and they attend births like midwives. So I just, whatever you can teach them is great. So I was just totally stumped. In the process, I began to look for materials, and I was able to get a teaching curriculum in Swahili and English. I found the 5 most relevant diseases and taught on those. I met a man who was like an expert in AIDS, and he was on his way to a San Francisco convention he was speaking at. He was kind of a prestigious doctor. He works in Sacramento. And he just took his time to talk to me all about things like nursing mothers with AIDS and what truly works for babies and does it. And he just went on and on. And then his train was late, so he called me back. He goes, hey, I have a little more time. He didn't know me from Adam, okay? And he decided he was going to help me. Well, who did that? That was the Holy Spirit. God had given me a job. I totally thought, I don't know what I'm going to do there. And then he just said, no, Mary, this is what you're going to do. All the way down to an artist who illustrated my diseases. You'd really like the flushing toilet with typhus. But there was nothing in it. It was just a toilet. But, you know, that's how God works. He's so good. If he has something for us to do, he truly will provide it. And his gifts are available. So if you've never heard about the gifts, if you don't even really know who the Holy Spirit is, or the Holy Spirit, this is the time. Pray. Pray with somebody tonight. If you feel like you want more, if you want a baptism, don't get stuck on that word. Just the word means you want the outflowing. Don't we want those waterfalls? I know I do. Drench me, Lord, and let it just come out my ears for Pete's sake. We need the Holy Spirit, and that's where we get refreshed each day. That's where it matters. So I just want to pray for us, and if there's some question or something really bothers you, please come and talk to us. I know Sharon would be available. I would, and there are others. There'll be opportunity in the discussion groups. If you're not comfortable there, we can do one-on-one, and there'll be opportunity to pray later. So we just want you to know we're here for you, and this is a process we're going through, too, and learning about more, and just trying to let our church body know all the many ways God wants to take care of us and prepare us and equip us to do his work. So let's pray. Oh, Lord, forgive me if I rush this a little, but I know that your word goes out and does not come back void. So every word that was from you, Lord God, just put it in our hearts today. And Lord God, may everyone believe she has a gift. You promised at least one. And help us, Lord God, to not be afraid, to not give up on seeking you and your face, and to know that you, each of us has a job, and you just want to provide it. So bless us now, and bless our meal later. In Jesus' name, amen.